Hello and welcome back to the Talking Wolves Transfer Podcast. I'm delighted to be joined alongside Dave as a party. Dave, how are you, mate? How was your holiday?
Kept you tan? It was alright, thank you. Yeah, just about, yeah. I was only there for a few days. So, yeah, I got back. I said to my mom, do I look tan? She's like, no. I was like, oh, sound.
So, you're not a big fan of the sun, though, are you?
No, I enjoyed it, though. It was really good. I wish it was one of those. I was sort of not ready to come home, but I sort of accepted the fact that I had to come back to the beautiful UK. But I could have easily done an extra few days.
I know. You needed to come home to a... The whole host of transfer rumours, didn't you, mate? But you couldn't wait to get going again.
Exactly, mate. I know.
None of them are very positive, though, are they?
Well, yeah, I mean, the internet in where I wasn't great, but thankfully I had, obviously, yourself, a few other Wolves fans just constantly sending me rumours. So if I missed out on anything, I was like, X person has sent you a tweet. So I was pretty clued up with everything, thankfully, and did a couple of videos out there too.
Just to clarify, when Dave says we were sending him rumours, we weren't making the rumours up.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get accused of,
they're sending me tweets. Yeah, people send me posts and articles, yeah.
I had to explain that to someone recently, that we, like, despite having the source in the tweet, that we're not the ones making it up.
Well, I've been called clickbait as a party from Talking Fart in the last day or so. So despite me saying that I need to take notice of more people like Fabrizio Romano, and take out a leaf out of his book. I was like, yeah, sound all right.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. There's been quite a bit of, I don't know, like, catastrophizing from fans on social media last couple of weeks. I understand their concerns that we've still not made, like, a senior signing apart from Doherty. But, Dave, what's the message to those fans who are whinging and whatnot?
We'll probably touch on it more throughout the podcast, yeah, as well. But I fully appreciate everyone's got a point of view. But I just think there's still time left in the transfer window. I think the current starting 11 is still pretty strong and settled anyway. And anyone new that was going to be coming in was probably going to be, for now, you know, a second option. Other than Alex Scott, but I don't think he was going to be an automatic starter from the first day of the season anyway. But I think our starting 11 is settled, and anyone else that we add in, which we will add more players in, will you know, have the rest of pre-season, the early part of the Premier League season to bed in. So I think it's absolutely fine. Other than Ruben Neves, everyone else that we've sold were players that weren't guaranteed starters. So it's just up to Wolves now to get the players in. And I'm sure they are making moves. They tend to be quite quiet behind the scenes. And yeah, I think we'll be fine. So I just think... The comment that Fabrizio made yesterday, and we'll talk about it, in regards to Wolves having FFP issues, I think that's just been blown out of proportion. I think probably what he meant by that was Wolves couldn't go and spend this amount of money on this player willy-nilly because of FFP restrictions.
I also think it's a bit of lazy journalism. Not saying that he's a bad journalist. Obviously very well-renowned and very reputable. Yeah. But if... He will obviously speak to people at the club and whatnot, and or close to the club and say, yeah, it's FF. If you know, couldn't do it because of FFP. I don't think it's probably in Fabrizio's best interest to then go and have a look at the club accounts from the last 3 or 4 years, look whether they're above the break even line. He's just going to take that as gospel, isn't he, and report it, because I can't imagine Wolves is his priority. If they said something maybe around Manchester City or Barcelona having FFP issues, you might get someone to dig a little bit deeper. But with Wolves, it's just a bit of a throwaway line, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, I think, you know, from the sales, and I think we mentioned it on the last podcast probably as well, is Wolves are in a better shape than what they were. Obviously, there's still some work to do, and Wolves have still got to be cautious in the market. But the state is much, much better. But I think we just got to chill out and wait till the end of the window. I think the current 11 is settled. There's clubs that are in the same or even worse positions than us currently in the transfer window. You know, West Ham have lost a certain amount of players, haven't signed a single player. You know, there's other teams in the Premier League right now that I think their squad are in worse states than what ours is. So I think there's lots of time to go. So I think we'll be fine.
I think as football fans, though, and it doesn't help when you've got the likes of Lopetegui saying, I want all my players ready for 1st of July, which is never, ever going to happen. He's obviously saying that just to put a bit of pressure on the board. But I've even got friends who are Man City fans who... they've not made a signing. They've lost a couple of key players, and they're like, bloody hell, the club need to sort themselves out. They just want a treble. So, like, yeah, I think as football fans, we naturally think. I mean, I've even thought recently, like, bloody hell, like, season starts soon. But, I mean, it's not always we can get everyone in through. It'd be great if we could get everyone through the door, you know, before. And, yes, it'd be great if we could get a pre-season and have them all kind of integrate into together. But it's just that's not the way it is, is it, Dave, with football, especially in the summer window?
Some players as well, you'll see, and again, it will be some of the players that we mentioned today. Sometimes it takes for the first week or 2 weeks of the season to discover who is in and who isn't in plans. You know, there's going to be players that we speak about today that the first week or two aren't in the match day squad, and all of a sudden they think, right, well, I need to move on. And that's when deals can be made. Yeah. So it's not like, right, Wolves should have all their targets lined up on the 1st of July and they should all be ready to join. It's just not as easy as that. So, I think the first 11, you know, I could name them one by one, but the first 11 is pretty settled, especially with Fabio coming back. I think you've got a decent 11 there. I'm sure we'll see most of those play against Porto this week. And then it's just up to Lopetegui, Hobbs, just to sort of add players in where they need to. I think three or more first team players, which isn't unrealistic. And I think the squad will actually look okay.
I think you make a good point there as well about players coming back, such as Giles, Sanderson, Sarkic, who... It takes Lopetegui a little bit of a time to have a look at and understand, are they my plans moving forward? Then I don't think it's a case of, right, I've had 2 weeks from all in my office, all of you, you're surplus to requirements, see you later. They might not even get it communicated to them. They may just get a feeling, I'm not getting many minutes here, I need to sort something out. So it isn't just a case of, okay, like it's a definitive process. Like you said, Dave, it could be, it, you know, these things happen. But a player that, I think that we all kind of knew that his time was coming to an end and probably wasn't in Lopetegui's plans, despite him saying at the end of the season that he wanted him to say is Raul Jimenez. Dave, he's looks like he's set to join Fulham for a deal worth £5.5 million plus add-ons. That's according to various reports. I think it was Fabrizio who broke it as an exclusive. It's understood that Jimenez has left the Wolves pre-season training camp in Portugal and he's undertaking his medical in London today. Maybe seen as a Mitrovic replacement, David looks Saudi bound, or at least he's putting up a bit of a fight to go there. But a little bit of a sad one for me, mate. A little bit somber because, you know, when he was fully fit, he was a phenomenal footballer.
Yeah, I would. I mean, in our lifetime, I was, and I'd assume you were as well, Matt, just a little bit too young to have been able to watch Steve Ball live and so on. But Jimenez for sure has been the best striker that we've seen at Wolves, and some would argue one of the best striker number nines Wolves has ever seen at a top level playing at European football. Such, you know, before the injury, such an unbelievable footballer. And even that season he got injured, I think he had four in the first 10 in the Premier League. So I think it would have been a really good season for him once again that year. But yeah, you know, for one reason or another, it's just not worked for him this season. Said it many times. I think Lopetegui, you know, he had Jimenez's card marks from day one. He wasn't happy with how the whole Mexico World Cup thing was handled. There've been certain interactions between the two of them, just didn't seem very positive throughout this year. I think, you know, in fairness to Raul, I think Lopetegui was a little bit disrespectful in that final home game against Everton. You know, we were 1-0 up. It was a dead rubber, really, for Wolves. Jimenez should have come on his final game, you know, well, what would have been his final game at Molineux in front of the fans. And obviously Lopetegui got told to warm up and never brought him on. So that was a bit, you know, disappointing for me. But it's hard. I know it's hard for Lopetegui. You know, you mentioned something earlier about when he said he wants most of his squad ready for the 1st of July. And I know he made another comment where he said Jimenez, he wants him to be part of his plans. But at the same time, for a manager, if you asked him a question, he's not going to say, nah, I don't want Jimenez in my squad next year. Unfortunately, managers are very, very rarely as honest as that. So I think we knew his time was up. The fee was going to be an interesting one. I think most Wolves fans are satisfied with the fee. You know, a year left on his deal. To be fair to Raul, he said that he wanted to carry on playing at the top level. I know Finn said on one of the podcasts he wanted to stay in England, and we almost had a little bit of a laugh about that. But, you know, he's got that wish, and I think, you know, I do wish him all the best. I hope he starts scoring goals again, as long as it's not against us at Molineux or at Craven Cottage. But, you know, I wish him all the best, and hopefully he can start finding the back of the net a lot more again.
It's a great move for him, really, isn't it? I mean, maybe him and what's his missus called again?
Daniela.
Daniela moved to London. You know, a lot. We find that a lot of foreign players are kind of sold on the lure of the glitz and glamour of London. They've obviously both got a massive following in Mexico, so they might find other opportunities down there as well. But Dave, I think it's a good move from Wolves to get £5.5 million for him. I don't think that's a bad fee considering his age, his performances of late, and the length of contract that he's got at the club, only a year left. But also a good move for Raul.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Fulham could have a good player there. There were still glimpses that I saw this last 6 months where I thought Raul has still got a bit of something. I think the game actually away at Fulham, he had a really decent performance. The game against Spurs at home was one as well where I thought if we could keep this Raul, we're on to, you know, we've got him back, I think. He was fantastic with his combination play and so on. And he was unlucky to have a couple of goals disallowed for really tight, I think it was offside calls this year as well. So I think it's a good move for all parties. I don't think the relationship between him and Lopetegui was very healthy. I think he had to move on. And I'm just glad he still can play at the top level. But what a fantastic footballer he was for Wolves. I did like a thread yesterday on our Twitter, sort of 10 goals. I could have picked so many other different moments. But there was 10 goals there, which just brought fantastic memories back. Because him and Adama as well, you know, forced a really nice relationship, yeah, that year.
Yeah, it's a sizable chunk off the wage bill as well, Dave, which I'm sure is probably one of the primary objectives of this window too. Moutinho gone, Jimenez gone, two, Neves gone, you know, three there, probably the highest earners. You expect the likes of Pedence to probably go as well. Adama, who wasn't on a great deal anyway, but just to touch on Adama, Dave, still without a club, would you want him back at Wolves? Would you happily have him back at Molineux?
I actually think the wide areas is something now, especially if Pedence goes. I think it's probably one of the areas that Wolves could do with maybe another player in. Just completely depends on a couple of things. Probably the main one being how much he wants. You know, what does Adama want? And secondly, how Lopetegui's hoping to play. And it looks like he might try and go a little bit more narrow this season, maybe, judging by the players that he's got. I'd take him back. I think it's a nice option to have, but it just completely depends on the amount of money that he wants per week.
Moving on to other targets, Dave. It's said that Wolves are still interested in Alex Scott, but they haven't prepared a third bid after the previous two were not back. That's according to John Percy in the Telegraph. Saw that Bristol City are holding out for around £25 million for the midfielder. It doesn't help, Dave, does it, when he's turning out world-class performances in pre-season friendlies?
Yeah, well, I'd say world-class. I think it was against, like, Notts County or something like that. But they,
hey, mate, can you beat what's in front of you?
They beat him, like, 8-0 or something. He was absolutely phenomenal. So, yeah, I mean, the fact that he's still playing pre-season games shows that no deal is imminent. But I suppose the positive for Wolves is that, obviously, someone like Bournemouth haven't jumped in with the bid as well. So, maybe with another few players out the door, like Jimenez, like Giles, frees up a little bit more out the wage bill, get some more funds in the bank, then maybe we can revisit that. But he's obviously a quality player. But let's wait and see. And obviously, we'll talk about a couple of players that Wolves have been linked with, other midfielders. And I do wonder if that is as a replacement for Scott, or whether Wolves are, you know, a bit of a smokescreen to sort of get Bristol City panicking a little bit.
Yeah, it's a player that I think we've spoken about quite a lot on this podcast. It's a player that I'd really like to see. Still got the kind of world at his feet at that age as well. But do you understand fans' frustration that Wolves can't just go and spend another 2 or 3 million and meet Bristol City at their valuation?
Yeah, I mean, I put a tweet out. I just want us to sort of get it over the line, because obviously he's a player in demand. I do wonder, again, this is something that we've mentioned previously, I do wonder where exactly he would fit into this squad. I would be intrigued to see where we play him and how we deploy him. But yeah, it's not as easy sometimes as just finding £2 or 3 million. It's the same with Napoli and Kilman. You know, they bid €35 million and Wolves want 40. Why can't Napoli just find another €5 million? Unfortunately, it's not just shoved down the back of the sofa. We can't just pick it out. So yeah, it's just things like that. You just got to weigh up all the, you know, we don't know. Obviously, the overall package might be 25 million. We don't know what Bristol City want up front, what Wolves can afford up front, what add-ons they want, what wage and contract the player wants as well. So there's a lot of different elements to the deal. But again, the fact that he's still playing just shows that at the moment it's not close with any other team. So Wolves are still well within a chance.
Some other news, Dave. Wolves have missed out on a striker. Reported Wolves target Matteo Retegui has joined Genoa, and that's apparently, and we've spoken about it already, according to Fabrizio Romano, Wolves did try and sign him, but FFP issues made it impossible. Again, I think they're probably a little bit too late, and he'd given his word to Genoa, because what's he gone for? £20 million, Dave. It's not, yeah. You know, yeah, it's not groundbreaking fees, is it?
No, and again, if Wolves have bid a 20+ million for Alex Scott, the, you know, we could have easily, if we really, really wanted to, we could have afforded that for Retegui as well. But I think it's very, you know, we've seen a few people compare it to the João Gomes saga. Like João Gomes, obviously we had a bid accepted, he gave his word to Wolves. And then Leon came in with a bid, but obviously he wanted to stick with Wolves, and I think that's happened the same with Retegui as well. You know, going to Genoa, play obviously in Argentine, but plays to the Italy national team and wants to be closer and in the Italian league. So I fully understand it from his point of view, but I think, yeah, that sort of throwaway comment by Fabrizio was sort of what's caused a little bit of a meltdown over the last 24 hours or so. Looks a good player though, to be fair to him.
Yeah, he does. I mean, as soon as I saw the link, I thought, oh no, Italian tax. But he's actually Argentinian, isn't he?
So he doesn't count.
He plays for Italy, but because we've had our fingers burnt. We've signed an Italian centre forwards before, and I think Italians in the Premier League very rarely, apart from like maybe Gianfranco Zola. Graziano Pelle for a season.
Modern era, and even the one was Scamacca last year, and I was like, on paper, looks a good signing, but I'm so dubious, and it's just not worked out for him, has it? And I think they're on about him moving back to Italy now as well. So, honestly, it's a thing. I'm not making it up.
You're not just a xenophobe, Dave. Wolves are apparently after two midfielders from Man City, Dave. They've reportedly approached Man City for James McAtee, and also are interested in Tommy Doyle. Both been at Sheffield United on loan, I believe. Sheffield United are interested in both still, but the approach from McAtee, Dave, interestingly, was from Wolves, but for both on loan and a permanent deal, but have been buffed by Man City. Do you think that could be because they're still trying to get their squad in order? They don't want players to go out the door because they've already lost quite a few. Do you think it could be anything to do with the relationship between Wolves and Man City being a little bit of a sketchy one? I don't think Man City are quite fond of Wolves and vice versa, just because of the stuff with the hierarchy and complaints and whatnot. Because with the McAtee deal, Dave, it said that Sheffield United are still really interested and hopeful of getting a deal done. So if it was the case that Sheffield United could get a deal done and Wolves couldn't, could it be that?
Yeah, I think there's loads of different, you know, elements to it. I think the sort of similar to what you said at the start there and what we said in the podcast, I think, you know, City still need to get their squad together. It may get to the start of the season where he realises that, you know, there's a certain amount of central midfielders ahead of him in the team and Doyle as well. Where he thinks, right, I need to go out, whether it be on a loan deal or a permanent deal. Both obviously very talented players. You know, but City have had a knack recently of having, you know, some top young players that they can sell on and include obviously buyback clauses if they wish. I think Lavia was the one who went to Southampton and now wanted for fairly decent fees by top Premier League clubs. And I think that's what everyone's going to be looking at. I think Tommy Doyle, Wolves want him, but he just wants reassurances that he's going to have lots of playing time, which I don't think there's any guarantee of that at the moment. And he'd prefer to move back to Sheffield United, but they can't afford him on a permanent deal. So I don't know. Like I said earlier, I wonder if this is almost like a smokescreen to sort of put a bit of pressure on Bristol City and Alex Scott. But again, I wouldn't be against any of these sort of signings. But yeah, the McAtee one, I think City need to get their midfield in order probably before they sanction a move to him. It's probably similar to us with Ryan Aitnori. We want to keep him around, but I know he's not a hugely popular name, but if we got someone like Aaron Creswell in, you know, the left back situation's pretty much solved, and Ryan Aitnori might be allowed to leave then.
Do you think these two links could be anything to do with Wolves playing their cards as, okay, we'll move on from Alex Scott then. The bid's on the table, Bristol City accepts it, or we're going elsewhere.
Yeah.
Quite similar players. I think McAtee's probably a little bit more advanced than Tommy Doyle in terms of positional. But
yeah, no, I think it could be genuinely just to put a bit more pressure on Bristol City as well. But I think it's very early days, especially for, like you said right at the start, City haven't really got their squad in order at the moment. So they don't really know where. I think these two players probably will move on. Tommy Doyle especially, I think he will move on this summer. But it's just a matter of time. And I think closer, maybe in the next week or two when the season kicks off, I think that's when you'll see both of these players make moves.
What's your thoughts on both deals if it includes a buyback clause?
Depends what the buyback clause is. I think if you're buying the players for below £15 million, I think the buyback's probably going to be £30 million plus, you'd hope anyway. But it sounds like City have done this with quite a lot of the deals. I think they even did it with Douglas Luiz when he went to Villa a few years ago. So I think that's just how they do things. And some clubs will like it, some clubs won't. So you just got to make sure you're not going to get ripped off at the other end of the deal.
I think with the Southampton deal and Lavia, I think they could only exercise that clause next summer rather than this summer. That's why that's why they're not buying him back and flogging him elsewhere for more money. And that's probably why Southampton are trying to flog him this summer to try and maximise. See, but like I said, that can work both ways, can't it? Man City, yeah, you know. But yeah, it remains to be seen whether there's concrete interest in that and whether it's anything comes out of it. But one player with concrete interest, Dave, is the Borussia Mönchengladbach defender Nico Elvelde. He wasn't in their squad. He was in the squad for their friendly against Saarbrücken. Been practicing that, mate. but wasn't selected to play. And reports in Germany suggest that negotiations between Wolves and Borussia Mönchengladbach are ongoing, but there's still a bit of work to do before an agreement is reached, and I'd quite like to find a replacement before letting him go. I think when this news first broke, Dave, we were all expecting it to be wrapped up in a couple of days.
Yeah, no, I think they're about to sign. It's a guy from Leeds, I think, one of the centre backs from Leeds. And you talk about badly run clubs and bad transfer windows. Just take a look at Leeds United's outgoings, compared to the amount of money they bought them for, and it's an absolute disaster there. I think once that deal gets signed, sealed, and delivered, I think this Elvedi one will accelerate. So it'll probably be one for when the team are back from Portugal, you would assume. So probably the end of the week, if this one does come to fruition. But I think good experience, decent fee, good option to have as a backup. And yeah, I think this is a pretty clever deal for Wolves, to be fair.
Yeah, he's played mostly as a left centre half or as a middle of a three, right footed, but tends to use his left a lot. I know a lot of fans are saying, well, there's your Kilman replacement. But I think, if anything, Dave, it's probably going to be a Nathan Collins replacement, with Max Kilman looking to, looks like he's going to stay at Wolves.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is, you know, you talk about sort of Nathan Collins deal. I know Collins obviously a player with a high ceiling. We sell him for just shy of £25 million, and you're bringing someone in with possibly has got better experience than him at a top level for what, £15 million less. These are the sort of deals that Wolves need to be doing to sort of balance the books a little bit. So I think it is quite a clever deal if this one gets over the line.
Hopefully, mate. I know his girlfriend's been over in Wolverhampton looking at potential properties. I saw a few people saying, bloody hell, we're not signing her. But Dave, you reliably informed me that there are some quite nice places in Wolverhampton.
The replies on that tweet saying, oh my God, like, they're not going to take it to McGee's or Pop World, are they? You know, they're going to show the nice areas of Wolverhampton. And in any city or town, there are nice areas. Like, you know, yeah, where all the players live, they're nice areas. So, you know.
But apparently, she when they took her around, she insisted that they saw the site where the Ring Road Tramp used to be.
Yeah.
So apparently back in Germany and Switzerland, it's a bit of a folklore. So
remember him, man? What a throwback! Yeah.
I used to be scared of him as a kid.
What was his name? Fred or something like that?
Was it Polish fellow, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to drive past that way on the way to the games when I was younger, and it used to scare the life out of me because it was just like this. This like, strange character that I couldn't.
That is a throwback. That's a locked a memory, that is, you know.
A locked a core memory.
Yeah.
He had this big beard and like lived in a tent on the ring road. And I was a bit like, as a child, like is he some like mythical creature? But anyway, back to the transfer rumours. Another one out the door, Dave, Ryan Giles. Now, we're going to discuss the fee in a little while, but he looks set to join Premier League newcomers Luton Town. Be working with former Wolves coach and player, actually, Rob Edwards. He has had pre-season with Wolves, Dave, but it looks like Lopetegui's probably doesn't fancy him. And he's 24 now, so looks like he'll be moved on. Top assister in the Championship last season at Middlesbrough, playing left wing back, but for a fee of around £5 million with future add-ons and incentives. And that's, well, the fees being reported are differing, but only by around £500,000, between £4.5 and £5 million. Dave, there's been a clamour on social media saying that he should be worth just shy of £94 million. What's your thoughts on the fee? Should it be a bit more?
I think the fee should be a bit more. Definitely, I think I would be. You know, I thought Wolves should squeeze out a little bit more money from Luton. This will be their record transfer, though, I think. So you know, but I think Wolves should be squeezed a little bit more. But again, we don't know what the add-ons. We don't know what the sell-on fee is. But like I say, you know, Lopetegui's had time to look at him. This is obviously, you know, there were early, very early whispers that he was going to be let go even before he came back. So I think, and I compared it to the Barry Douglas thing. I think some people related with that. Some people didn't have a clue what I was on about. But in the fact that Douglas did really, really well for us, got some great goal contributions. We thought he was going to be a real asset when we got promoted. And as soon as he came back to the squad, he came into the Premier League, he was let go. And I think Ryan Giles is similar in the fact he's done well in the Championship, but Wolves can see his negatives. I think defensively, he's not fantastic. He's obviously played a lot higher up as like a wing back with a lot more support behind him. Whereas in a back four, you're not going to get that. So although I think Wolves should probably be squeezing a little bit more money out of Luton or whoever else wants to buy him, I still think it's a decent piece of business by Wolves.
Yeah, I think five. I mean, if you're asking me, I'd probably say about 7 or 8 million would be like fair, like
100%. Yeah,
yeah. He's still got. I mean, 2 years left on his deal as well. He's 23, not 24. But yeah, it does seem a strange one. I think it is a little bit under what we expected. But a lot of fans saying, you know, it should be 15 million at least. But how many? He may not be a Premier League player, right? We don't know. So it's probably going to be the teams that are coming up who, if they are going to be interested, Premier League team, it's going to be them. If not, it's going to be another Championship team. How many Championship teams do you know have a need for a left back or a left wing back in that position and are willing to spend £15 million on one?
No, exactly. So, no. I'll be interested. Like, you know, if money wasn't really an issue for Wolves right now, I would have been intrigued to see him have a year out on loan at Luton, to see how he could cope with the Premier League and then maybe with the eye, you know, a view to bringing him back. But I think there's a lot more wrong with that. Obviously, he could easily decrease his value if he has a stinker and Luton go down. I don't know. And he might not even want to go back out on loan again. You know, he probably wants his future. He's at the age now where he needs to settle down. So, you know, I think a sale needs to be done. I appreciate that people are disappointed with it, but when a player is second, third, or even fourth choice in some cases with Giles, depending on who you put in that left-back position, you know, you're never going to get maximum value for him.
Strange one as well, because, I mean, I don't know how Luton are going to set up next year, but they've got a player called Alfie Doughty, who has played as like a left midfielder or like almost like a wing-back or, you know, covering that left pocket there, who's a really good player, had a fantastic season last year. So I don't know if Giles' minutes are guaranteed. We don't know how they're going to play. They seem to be quite a direct team. It could be that they're going to rely on that delivery from the left-hand side. But as one left-back leaves the club, Dave, Wolves looking to bring in another one. Again, this came out of nowhere and was a bit of a surprise. Wolves apparently bid 2.5 million for Aaron Creswell, which was rejected. West Ham were not happy with that and won around £5 million, according to The Guardian. It's not known whether Wolves are going to go back in with an improved offer, but 33 years old, Aaron Creswell, unbelievable delivery, I would say that. But yeah, Dave, a bit of an odd one.
Again, I think this is one, the closer to the deadline, I think this is the where Wolves will get a better chance of getting a good deal for Creswell. I'm not against it for the 2.5 million. I'd be happy with that. But when you up to the 5 million, I'd be a little bit more, you know, cautious. I'd probably steer clear of that one. But for two and a half million, I think I'd be satisfied with that, bringing him in. But again, we've still got, you know, we've Aitnori still here. We've Bueno there. Totti can slot in at left back if needed. It's still quite a strong, well, there's a lot of depth in that position of the pitch. I was surprised to see this one when it broke. But, you know, adds that experience. I mentioned on a couple of the transfer videos, the average age of Lopetegui's squad seems to be quite a little bit older. You know, when he was at Sevilla and so on, seems to be quite a little bit older. He likes that lot of experience. So I'd be interested to see. I think if Creswell did come in, I think it opens the door for Aitnori to leave the club anyway, unless he was looking to deploy Aitnori further up the pitch as more of a winger, which we have seen in some of the pre-season videos.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. I know you don't mind it, Dave, but I just don't think he's quick enough to play in that position. He's got really good close control, hasn't he? But it's a completely different position to play. But who knows? He might occupy those inside number 10 spaces that we could be playing with again. We've not really seen anything from pre-season, have we, in terms of full 60 minutes or full 90 minutes of how we're going to play. The first opportunity will be tomorrow with the Porto game. But Creswell and Doherty is your left and right backs, Dave. Does that concern you a little bit?
Yes and no. If he came in, we probably would see that at some point during the season. But I don't think, I don't know. I don't think it's a bottom three fullback. Anyway, I don't think it's a bottom three choice of fullbacks. I think they're better than some of the fullbacks in the league. But I don't know. I think it just adds that experience. And I don't think either of them are going to be first choice. Although some of the comments that Doc made, it sounds like he's expecting to be first choice right back. I don't know. I'm not bothered either way about the Creswell one, if I'm honest. I'm not bothered. I think he'd be a good signing. I can see the positives for it, but I can also see why people don't want it to happen.
Seems to be a bit of a character as well. And we know the importance of having those characters around the club and that leadership. From interviews we've done previously. But yeah, I'm the same, mate. I'll take it or leave it. Last rumour, Dave, Daniel Pedence. Well, this one's not a rumour, this is concrete, but he hasn't travelled with the squad to Portugal. He's been left at Compton to train. It's fairly certain he's going to leave this summer. Real Betis heavily linked with him, but he put a little bit of a message on Instagram, didn't he? A little bit of a sarcastic, ironic post.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised to see that. You know, I think he'd come back to training with Jimenez, although it was sort of individual training by the looks of things. It's weird because he started off really well under Lopetegui, but there was certain instances last season where, you know, although he did finish as our top goal scorer, he's far too inconsistent. Yeah, had the whole Nottingham Forest incident. Where did he spit? Did he not spit? I don't know. But obviously, he was causing trouble there and probably trouble that Wolves didn't really need at that time of the season. So, yeah, obviously, Betis are the one team that have been credited with his interest. But I think there's teams in Europe, Saudi Arabia, as per usual, interested in him as well. So I think, you know, the fee that was mentioned before was about £10 million. I think if Wolves can squeeze a little bit more, that'd be a good sale for Wolves. But a good player, but just not good often enough, to be honest. And I think there are players that we can bring in that will just add that little bit more consistency, which is what we need.
Dave, we'll probably do another podcast next week, another transfer rumour podcast. Do you think by the time we record, we'll have another senior player through the door?
Yes. Probably Nico Alvedi.
That was about to say.
Yeah. or someone similar, sorry. Yeah.
Do you think, apart from him, he'll have anyone else?
Depends when next week we do it. If it's early on next week, probably not. But I don't know. So what games we got? We got Porto. Do we play Celtic on Saturday? Yeah. And then we got is it Luton next Wednesday, or the Wednesday after?
Yeah. Next Wednesday, and then Stadler on the Saturday.
Oh yeah. Wow. Okay. I think there'll be two in by next Wednesday.
Two in by next Wednesday. I'm gonna go be one.
Yeah. I think one's a safe bet, but you know, always the positive. I'll go two by next Wednesday.
Wonderful. Well, I hope you're right, mate. I hope I'm wrong. Hopefully more than two, but yeah. let's not be silly. Dave, where can people find you? Should they wish to follow you?
It's at Dave as a Party on Instagram and Twitter/X, whatever it's called nowadays. But yeah.
I can see us moving to Threads pretty soon.
I don't know what's going on with Twitter at the moment, so yeah.
There's a DM limit as well now, isn't it? Unless you subscribe to Twitter Blue.
So. I don't have anyone messaging me anyway, so.
Well, it's just our group chat, isn't it? That's all. I've subscribed to Twitter Blue on Matt Cooper Bites to see if I got like any uplifting engagement, and I didn't. So I'll be swiftly unsubscribing. But yeah, I'm M Cooper Bites and Matt Cooper Bites on social. We are Talking Wolves across all social medias. If you're new here, please subscribe. We really do appreciate it. If you listened on Apple or Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review. If you enjoyed it, let us know in the comment section down below your thoughts on the transfer window so far and all this FFP nonsense. But yeah, until next time, hopefully we'll come back with a bit more positive news and we'll have, as Dave said, four through the door by Wednesday.
I didn't say that.
Until next time, enjoy yourselves and take care.